Your attention, please. The Walt Disney World Railroad, now boarding for a scenic trip around the Magic Kingdom. Board!
Well, Brad, this week was a doozy, as they say. Pretty much everything that we've been worried about happening happened. And it's going to be a crazy one. So here's what I'm going to do. I'm going to explain the three different products that Disney announced this week. And then we can talk about them. But I think it'd be good to get kind of to lay an informational base down, you know, and so there's no confusion about what all these things are.
Just a quick check. We're putting a moratorium on the whole no bummers thing for tonight's for whenever you're listening to this podcast, right?
Yes.
We've got to talk about this stuff, and I'm just, spoiler alert, don't know how I'm going to make that one work. So, sure, go ahead.
Not much we can do about the bummerific nature of this.
Yeah. So go ahead and describe them. Maybe you'll make me hit upon something that goes, oh, I have a whole new take, but yeah. All right, go ahead.
All right. So there were three things announced. One is Genie, which we've talked about in the past as a rumored product that would kind of take historical data and basically suggest to you things that you would want to do and kind of let you know, like, now's a good time to go ride Splash Mountain or Big Thunder Mountain or whatever, because the lines are historically short. The second thing is Genie Plus, which is a paid addition to Genie. The standard Genie is free, or complimentary, as Disney likes to say. And then the third thing they announced is Lightning Lane, which is the replacement for FastPass Plus. So Genie is the overarching, it's an addition to the My Disney Experience app. And what it does in the free version, what it will do is tell you, you can tell Genie, like, hey, these are my favorite rides, these are my favorite shows, and it will kind of go in and put together an itinerary for you, and you can follow that itinerary. It'll tell you, you know, like I said, historically, Big Thunder Mountain has a short line at this point in the day, and it's using both historical data and real-time data to suggest to you when you should go get in the standby line for these attractions. You know, it does take into consideration what you've told it you like, and what it can do is, you know, if it says go and ride Haunted Mansion at 10 and you say no, I don't want to do that, you can tell it to swap it out and it'll kind of configure a new itinerary for you. So that is the complimentary version of Genie. It basically tries to help you spend less time in line, I think is the kind of big selling point on that. Genie Plus is a $15 per person per day upsell. What Genie Plus allows you to do is basically make what used to be called FastPass. Genie Plus will allow you to go in and on most attractions put yourself into Lightning Lane, which is the new FastPass Plus line. And you can make your Lightning Lane reservation, and it works like MaxPass or the old school FastPass, the paper FastPass, where you just make them day of one at a time. You go into, you know, Genie Plus and say, you know, hey, I want to ride Splash Mountain. It'll tell you, okay, you have a Lightning Lane thing for 2 o'clock, and you just go back at 2 o'clock and you're in. So gone are the days where you know, 90 days out or whatever, making FastPass reservations. That's not happening anymore. All of your Lightning Lane stuff happens day of. So, and then Lightning Lane, we've pretty much already covered, is the new FastPass line. The only other thing is there are certain attractions that will not be covered in Genie Plus that are going to cost extra. So like Rise of the Resistance, I think Big Thunder Mountain Railroad was on there. There are a few, and Disney hasn't released official lists yet. So it's all just speculation, but there are going to be attractions, very popular attractions, that are not included in Genie Plus, and you'll have to pay extra per person, per ticket, I guess, per Fast Pass ticket, whatever, to go on them. So what you can basically do is, if you really want to ride Rise of the Resistance, you can pay the $20 a person or whatever it is to go hop on Rise. So Genie Plus covers most attractions to let you get into the Lightning Lane. And then there are additional attractions that you'll have to pay extra for. And that amount will be dependent on the popularity of the attraction and the, you know, day of the week and all this. Like, I think they're just going to be basically setting the price, the Lightning Lane price, based, you know, like on an hourly basis, it sounds like. I mean, they're going to be fluctuating depending on popularity. So those are the new things. FastPass Plus is no more going in and doing your thing where you go in and try to cheat the system by refreshing and reopening the thing. And that may still work, but basically the gist of it is, if you don't care about making, quote, I'm going to say FastPass because we all know what FastPass is. If you don't care about making FastPass reservations, you don't have to pay anything. The Genie app will tell you when the standby line is shortest, and then you can just go and do your thing, and you don't have to worry about it. If you want to make any kind of, quote, fast pass reservations, you will have to pay for Genie Plus, which is $15 per person per day. And then, you know, obviously for the more popular stuff, I know Seven Dwarfs Mine Train is... Disney announced a few, and I know Seven Dwarfs Mine Train is one of them. So for those, you'll have to pay on top of the Genie Plus reservation. But that's it. Those are the new announcements that happened this week. Free Fast Pass is no more. This is if you want to be in the Lightning Lane, you're going to be paying something.
Yeah. So basically, welcome to Six Flags, because that is what has happened here. And the audacity that Disney had in their announcement, their YouTube video, their press release, to say, oh, people are going to love this. They love Max Pass and this. And I'm like, sure, at Disneyland.
Right.
But Walt Disney World had this great thing called Fast Pass Plus, and you guys keep, like, I cannot understand the concept where you think that you can fool people into believing that this is an upgrade. It's not an upgrade. It's a downgrade.
Yeah, it is
Fast
not
Pass
an upgrade.
FastPass Plus lets you make 3 reservations, you know, 60, 90, whatever days in advance, and then lets you make them one at a time once you had gone through your initial 3. This Genie Plus thing is going to let you make one at a time and none in advance, from what we can tell. So that is a downgrade, because that is 2 less that I can make, or at least 2 less, if not 3 less in advance, and doing one at a time. I do assume that kind of refresh to get the best time will still work, because looking at the YouTube video, if you look at the screenshots of the Genie Plus, essentially it is the FastPass Plus thing, right, where it says, you know, you can go ahead and reserve Jungle Cruise and return between 2 and 3, or you could reserve Haunted Mansion and return between 4 and 5, or, you know, whatever. And it basically tells you what the next availability for each attraction is. And, I mean, that's the way FastPass Plus worked, and you just kind of refreshed until you got the time you wanted, assuming that it was available. So, again, essentially, Genie Plus is just paid FastPass Plus Lite. Like, it's not even... It's not even FastPass Plus, man. And then they they're going to try to convince me that essentially we took away some stuff from FastPass Plus that you liked in additional initial reservations and being able to make those reservations ahead of time, and we replaced them with for Walt Disney World, because we're a Disney podcast, but quite honestly, we focus on Disney World more than anything. Augmented sure. reality photo pass, which, I mean, having Minnie or Mickey draped over my arms is not worth anything to me. And it's not even, it's like for my iPhone camera.
Yeah.
I want to take photo pass photos, right? Like that's what you're trying to sell me on. And then what? Audio tracks to tell me about the history, which, yeah, I love those, but those are good one time. And, you know, they're not going to update those audio tracks, I don't think. Do you?
No. Probably not. They probably have a number of them, and that's what they got.
Right. So I just, I have tried, man, because I was so, okay, so inside baseball here, we have a chat that we use to kind of collect our show topics and things like that. And when this got posted in the show topics, I just let a stream of GIFs go of just anger. And I thought, you know what? It's a really good thing. I literally considered texting you and being like, let's record tonight because I just want to get it out. And I had hoped that over the days I would soften on this. And I'm not softened on this at all. I hate this thing. And it also, it takes away a, like, there are so, we literally just did an episode where we talked about how few things are an advantage to staying on property. They just took away another thing that's staying on property. You get to get your FastPass Plus even earlier. Not now, because yeah. that's not even a thing anymore. Like, I just, the nickel and diming of people, and like, I could I can see trying to sell it as a positive of, well, there won't be as many people who are going, but there's going to be enough people who are going to do this that, like, if this is your family's one trip to go to Disney World, you can't not get this. So it's just another charge that they're going to pile on. And you and I have both discussed in the past how one of the things that we love telling people about is, hey, you're going to get this thing called FastPass. It's going to come with your tickets.
Yeah.
You're going to be able to you know, skip the line on these three rides at least, and possibly even more rides as the day goes on. And that's just like...
Well, and I've always thought of it as like the great...
It's just such a bummer.
I've always thought of it as like the great equalizer. You know, like, you couldn't, no matter how much money you had, no matter if you were staying at Grand Floridian or at Pop, you could not buy FastPass. You could not buy yourself onto an attraction any more than anybody else could. And that was, I appreciated that a lot. And so, yeah, it is definitely a loss that this is no longer a thing. I should have mentioned when I was explaining Genie Plus, like you said, Walt Disney World has the AR things. Disneyland, much like MaxPass got you your PhotoPass stuff, Genie Plus at Disneyland will also get you your PhotoPass stuff. So, you know, obviously they have way less PhotoPass locations at Disneyland and California Adventure since it's so much smaller, but that is another perk that I forgot to mention. I'm not happy about this. I don't know. I'm of two minds. I think that this is non-optional. I think you should just plan on $15 per person per day. I don't see any way with this being so cheap. I don't see any way that you would want to do Walt Disney World without Genie Plus. I think it's too cheap to make it a question. This is going to be a mandatory thing that you have to have. which is honestly what they want. I mean, they're going to get, when Claire and I go next year, they're going to get $30 extra a day from us. So, I mean, it makes sense, but I just don't, I cannot see a way that you could get away with not having this. I do wonder, though, we have had conversations in the past, and you actually changed my mind on FastPass and how it was making standby lines longer. I wonder if this is going to help standby lines, because we're going back to a day of hopefully more limited availability pass, and honestly, people have to pay for it, so there are going to necessarily be less people vying for these lightning lane passes. So I wonder if this is going to help standby lines just by virtue of kind of thinning the herd a little bit. You don't have every single person who's there fighting for these lightning lane passes.
So I see that, but when I recommend it, you know, my discussion was moving back to paper fast passes, where it was day of, but it was included for everybody, but it was one at a time, or just doing away with fast pass altogether. With this system, even if it's only 60% of people, which I think is extremely conservative, because I think it's going to be higher than 60% of visitors on a given day are going to have this. Because like you said, here's the thing. I honestly don't think it's cheap. I think it's cheap in comparison to things at Disney. It ain't cheap.
I don't think it's cheap. But I think
it's inexpensive enough that you're going to have to get it.
Yes, it is inexpensive enough to be affordable. It's not $50 per person per day, which I think would be much more of an obstacle to most people. $15 per person per day is something that is attainable, and I think it's a smart, for what they're trying to do. I'm not trying to defend it, but I think for what they're trying to do, this is a smart price to make this thing.
Oh no, if you're trying to make money hand over fist, it is a smart way to do it. And like, so let's say that it's a 60% uptake. Here's the problem. Now there is money involved. Yeah. When there's not money involved and you say, I'm sorry, all of the fast passes for Toy Story Midway Mania, because I think what Slinky Dog Dash and Rise of the Resistance are the rumored Lightning Lane only for Hollywood Studios. So yeah. Midway Mania, Tower of Terror or Rock and Roll, any of those three attractions, or even Smuggler's Run, if you suddenly say there are none available, people are going to be upset. They're going to be like, I had to pay $15 for this thing so that I could ride the ride. And yes, it might be later in the day, but quite honestly, what I expect to see Disney doing is creating more availability for these things, not less availability. They're going to extend the availability if they have to. Like, I think initially they're hoping to use as many fast passes per hour. You know, honestly, that is what it is at the end of the day, folks. It is fast pass. They're trying to use as many fast passes per day as what they've always used, but just make money off of them. But let's say that all the ones for Tower of Terror get booked up. You've got people who have already paid, so you've gotten every penny you can out of them, who are going to be in the standby line, or you've got these other people who, if you show them that Lightning Lane or that Genie Plus is an advantage to them, will likely get Genie Plus the next day. What are you going to do, Jeremy? Are you going to tell them, well, you can't get on, you know, Tower or Rock and Roller or whatever? Or are you going to say, well, you know what? Yeah, there are some available. And the standby line gets a little longer. Those are the poors anyway. They can't afford to pay for this, so who cares about them?
Yeah, I don't know, man. This is, I mean, historically, it does work at other parks. this type of system works at Six Flags and SeaWorld and other places. And granted, these parks are not as busy and not as popular as Walt Disney World. But, I mean, Universal has paid, quote, Fast Pass, and it works for them. Like, I don't foresee problems like showstopper problems like that. But I think mostly the issues are going to be if it's not communicated by a travel agent, because God knows it's going to be communicated by the website. The website's going to push Genie at you constantly.
Oh, it's just going to go ahead and like add in Genie.
It'll be opt
from
out
the get-go.
For
it's
going
to be like, you don't want to not have Genie Plus, do you?
Right. But yeah, I don't know. I'm wondering. So the issue we've talked about in the past with FastPass Plus in Hollywood Studios and Epcot, doesn't this kind of make that go away? You know, where you had to pick two from Group A and one from Group B, and the Group B one was always garbage, and you just had to trash your, you know, last FastPass. I've done that before, where you just walk up to Beauty and the Beast stage show and scan your Magic Band and walk away, like, just so you can get in the app and get another, quote, good FastPass. So, I don't know. Does that make the? Does this at least make that problem moot?
Sure it does, because you don't get that option anymore. I'm not gonna give them points for making an argument moot by just taking it away. Like, that doesn't, I could just as easily have done the burn a fast pass as I can, like, it doesn't really save any time. So yes, it does. But I'm not giving them points for that. That's just not, no, it's not worthwhile. Just because it does get rid of it doesn't make it a good thing. I just, oh man, this upsets me so much. Because here's the thing, at the end of the day, what you said, this works for Universal, this works for Six Flags, this works for, those aren't supposed to be, like,
yeah.
Yes, at the end of the day, Disney is a business. Disney is in it to make money. But Disney is supposed to somehow be a step above all of those other parks. And now Disney just is. Like they are slowly but surely converting themselves. Like, this, I know that this shouldn't be the thing, but this is the thing where I honestly have to start asking myself, why do I care so much about this company?
Yeah.
Like, what are they doing that makes them so different and so special that I feel like I really need to be supporting this company? Because honestly, it would be way cheaper to go. And please note, this is not me saying, well, I'm never going back to Disney. I'm going to go back to Disney again. I've already got two more trips on the books, and I'll probably have another trip after that. But this might make me think about when that next trip is going to be and how often those trips are going to be, because yeah. I'm kind of getting sick of being nickel and dimed over every little thing. And all the things that I loved about Disney, they're taking them out, and they're not replacing them with anything that is beneficial to me. All they're doing is they have always been a company who has been interested in making money, and I've always known that. But I've known they're a company that wants to make money, but wants to make money by making me feel like I'm valued. And I don't feel like that anymore. This does not make me feel like I'm valued. This makes me feel like I am a number, and that number is the number of dollars and pennies that I spend on any given day.
Okay, let me remove my devil's advocate hat now. I've seriously exhausted every positive, perhaps, question I can pose to you. But yeah, I'm out of things to say. This really sucks. And if it was just this, maybe, but like the removal of free magic bands, like the announcement.
Magical Express.
Yeah, Magical Express is gone. The announcement last week of how much that Galactic Star Cruiser hotel experience is going to be. It's just all of this just feels bad. And it's like this company whose parks have always been customer service first and like profit for sure. Profit first, honestly. I mean, like, there's no two ways around it. Profit first. But they found some way, like you said.
Profit first through amazing customer service. Through
make
an amazing guest experience.
Make people want to be here and want to come back.
Makes people love to hand money over to us.
Yes. Yeah. Yeah, exactly. Make it an experience where people want to come and pay more. And it's just like you said, it's gone. It's going away. And one question I have is, like, you know, there've been lots of people online talking about, if I'm going to pay $20 a person to go on Seven Dwarfs Mine Train for the Lightning Lane thing, every interactive portion of that queue had better be working. You know, everything better be working. What? Because now, even the people who are just making regular old fast passes are paying for to anybody who's in that Lightning Lane queue has paid money now. And so every part of these queues better be working. And I think that's going to be the major telling thing. Are they funneling at least some of this money into keeping the attractions up and keeping the queues up, keeping the paint nice, stuff like that? You know, months ago, I shared with you an audio file that was a walk in the park with Rolly Crump. And Rolly Crump was an original Imagineer. He worked with Walt. He had a major role in building Disneyland. And one thing that he talked about in there was they used to have one day a week where Disneyland was...
Monday and Tuesday.
A week where Disneyland was closed so they could make sure everything was good. 2 days a week. And, like, I know that that's not tenable at this point, but... I mean, even one day a month where the park was closed and they could just go in and make sure everything was looking good and touch up paint and stuff like that. I mean, would be incredible. But just to the thought that Disneyland at one time had 8 days a month where they were closed and Imagineers could go in and touch up paint and make sure everything looked good and inspect everything. You know, that was the mindset back then. And in a perfect world, that would still be the mindset now. I know there's many, many different considerations and many, many different things. Here's the weird thing to me. It feels like, I don't know if we want to get into Bob Chapek, but it does feel like, let me say this. It feels like upper management at Disney thinks that goodwill is a given. Somebody feels like we as paying people that go to Walt Disney World as much as possible, someone in Disney upper management thinks our goodwill is a given. And our goodwill will always be there because we love the park and we love the experience. And while that is true, I don't think that people like us, like me and you, are as dopey and as empty-headed as they seem to think we are. And my hope is that after announcing all this stuff, someone high up will see we're losing this goodwill that we had. And hopefully that matters to someone. And they'll understand that this is not a given. This is something that was earned. That was truly earned. The amount of good customer service experiences that I've had at Disney World far outnumber the good customer service experience I've had anywhere else. Every time I've gone, it's like people are bending over backwards to make things better for me. I've had times where I've checked in to a hotel too early, and the person at the desk is like, don't worry about it. Like, we got you covered. And they've gotten me a room, you know, that was available that wasn't assigned to me, I guess. I don't know. But, like, every time something has happened that's my fault, that I'm, like, I'm at the counter going, I know I can't check in until 3, but I'm just hoping I can check in. They're, like, bending over backwards to make sure that I am taken care of, you know, requested a king-size bed. They get me a king-size bed, even though I'm not supposed to be checked in yet. Every time I've had an off experience at a park, it's like the cast member, the guy who's selling me the popcorn, he like made sure that the popcorn was overflowing. I had a heaping popcorn bucket. Like, he was just making sure that there was enough so that it was like coming over the top, not just in there, you know. And like restaurants, again, just the care that goes into making sure that I've had a really good experience at California Grill and Ohana. And, you know, we've talked before about the chef coming out when you have a food allergy and making sure he can create something that won't hurt or kill someone in your party. Like, whether or not he's doing anything real behind the scenes in the kitchen, whether or not that's true doesn't matter. Because that guy came out and at least made me or you, because the first time I ever went to Walt Disney World, I was with someone who had a peanut allergy. And so every restaurant we went to, we saw the chef. I don't know if he was making a special peanut-free thing or if he just, you know, had like, this is for peanut people over here and this is what we use, and it was 5 hours old. I don't know. I don't know what he did, but just the sheer fact that a person that looked like a chef, who looked important, came out to the table and said, hey, I'm the chef and I want to make sure we're good. What are your allergies? That means something, and that was earned. And I hope that somebody up high in Disney sees this goodwill that was earned, that they don't appreciate that they earned. That somebody realizes, oh no, we're losing this.
Well, and you also don't want to put the Rankin, like, here's the thing. This is not going to affect the popcorn man.
If the popcorn man cared last week, he's still going to care next week. Right.
Right. It's the upper management that we are calling out
here. But the you know, crap rolls downhill. It's a matter of time before people become disaffected and don't care anymore. In my experience,
when there are 50% less people to serve the popcorn people aren't going to care anymore because they don't have time to care, because they've been told it's all about how many people you get through the line, right, how quickly you get them through a line. And like, that hasn't been the way that you are primarily judged, but it sure feels like it's moving right that way.
Well, and like even the lack of, oh, what do you call, like, the citizens of Hollywood, those kind of performers, they have a name for them. But the performers that are basically improvising, you know, actors, they've laid all those people off, and it doesn't seem like they're looking to bring them back. And if I can't pull up a bench in Hollywood Studios for 30 minutes and watch a show that's just happening on the street, or just, you know, even sit on a bench and just wait because I know that, like, somebody, some citizen of Hollywood is going to come walking down the street and set up their little sandwich board and start giving out free advice. Like, I don't know. That was another thing that was really special.
Yeah, all this is going to roll downhill. And I think what you're highlighting here is the Citizens of Hollywood thing sucked, and the Magical Express thing sucked, and the Magic Hours changes sucked, and like, all of those things individually, like, we tried for so long to stick to this. You know what? We're not going to talk about the bummers. There are some things happening, and I'm going to say it. It at this point feels like Disney is taking advantage of a crappy situation in the form of a pandemic to just railroad through a bunch of changes that finally are going to break the camel's. Like, this is just the last straw. This isn't in and of itself. It's a huge thing. The Genie Plus and the Lightning Lane stuff is a huge thing. And by the way, I'm assuming that you're going to have Genie Plus to even get Lightning Lane.
Yeah.
So they're going to charge you the $15 plus the $20 if you want to actually do Seven Dwarfs Mine Train. You know, I don't actually know that, but everything about the way they've been acting lately makes me think that they'll do that. This in and of itself, if this was the only thing that had happened, if this was the first domino to fall, we'd be like, man, I don't see some, like, we would try to see the positive. I am so past trying to see the positives at this point. This is negative. This is freaking negative. Go ahead. Like, even the people who are trying to talk, the people that I've seen who are trying to talk positive about this are just like resigned to the fact that, well, you're going to have this. If you've ever been to Disneyland, you know you have to have Max Pass. Like, that is resignation. That is not highlighting a positive. That is resignation to a bad situation. And that is what we are at, is resignation to a bad situation. Yeah. And honestly, I would love to see them acknowledge the fact that this is not a great thing, that this is not a good idea, that somehow, like, even if you were to keep FastPass Plus and then have some kind of, like, have Genie Plus, and Genie Plus lets you make additional, like, we'd be upset about that, but we would be like, well, that's something they added. You know, we said the same thing about the extra Magic Hours events that they added on.
Yeah.
You know, we were like, well, that kind of sucks, because we feel like those could be extra, but they didn't take away the extra Magic Hours events. So, okay. I mean, they didn't take anything away to add on something. Like, there are ways of doing this that would seem good. And I'd love to see them turn course. And we've seen companies do that. You know, I think of Microsoft, when they had their whole, Game Pass, I think, they were going to go up on the price of, and everybody, like, rake them across the coals for it, and they said, oh, never mind, we're not going to do that. But I would love, please tell me how wrong I was when I said this. I don't see Disney doing that.
I don't think there's any way this goes away. I think Genie and Lightning Lane are here. My only hope is, like I said, there is some acknowledgement high up that, like, again, our goodwill is not unconditional. And if somebody cares, if somebody could care about that, and that we see not a removal of Genie. No, because I think you're right. I don't think there's any way this goes away. But an addition of something else. Maybe a reinstatement of some sort of Magical Express type program. Or some, you know, hire the
Genie Light. You get three, but yeah. but nothing during the day. And Genie Plus gets you the ones that are like something. Throw us a freaking bone, Disney. Just, it feels like they've stuck the knife in, and now they're just turning it. And I just don't get that. I mean, honestly, dude, I'm seriously, like, is this going to be Missing the Bunny by the next time we record this podcast, where we cover the latest and greatest changes coming to Six Flags or something? I don't I'm not trying to be that person who's like, I am never going to Disney again.
And I'm not either, because I'm going at the end of next year. Like, I'm going to go.
But after that, when are you going to go again? And after March, when am I? I honestly, this is making me have thoughts about how often I'm going to visit the parks. And that is the only change that I think that is going to happen. If you want to see a change, that's where it's going to have to happen, is the money is going to have to stop, because as long as the money gets spent, I really don't think they care.
Yeah.
I don't think they care. As long as people are coming through the turnstiles, whatever. We'll keep adding things on until we start to see it change at the turnstile. And that is what it feels like it is right now. And I hate that. I hate that that's what it feels like.
The thing that has been the worst for me, and I did not expect to bring this up, but the thing that makes me the saddest is that this is a thing that Claire and I have shared. Disney World has been our place that we've gone. We went on our honeymoon. We've gone many, many times together. It is our happy spot. It's where we go. We love it there. But I don't know, and I don't want to even entertain the consideration that this is not a thing I'm going to share with my kids. I just assumed that, you know, this would be a thing that when my kids got older, that this would be something that we would all do together. And when they got older and they had kids, that we would share, you know, we would continue generationally to share with them. And again, I don't want to catastrophize and just say, like, there's no way that's going to happen. But it's just one of those considerations where I'm like, if I'm not as enthusiastic, I'm way less likely to make the sacrifices to take my children, you know, on a vacation to Walt Disney World, or to, you know, make a big family trip to Walt Disney World. And that, you know, like, what if I can't enjoy Walt Disney World with my daughter? That sucks, man. That just the thought of that makes me really sad. And I don't know. At least right now, when my kids are, you know, almost four and not even one, my enthusiasm is all they have. And if I'm not enthusiastic and I'm not wanting to go, they're not going to go. And, like, that bums me out.
Oh, no, I've had the exact same thought. And, you know, again, with us making this trip in March and, you know, in remembrance of my dad, and just how important Disney was to our family. And again, like you said, don't want to catastrophize this whole situation, but this was Disney was a huge thing for our family from about 2004 onwards. It was a thing that we did as often as we could. And it was a big thing to go and do it, but we still wanted to do it because we loved it so much. And to come to a point where I don't know that I feel that way anymore, and I don't know if that's going to be something that my kids are going to... And I'm not saying that my kids won't go on vacations. It just might not be to Disney World. You know, it might be to somewhere else. And I didn't... I really thought that Disney would be where that thing was. And I realize that I'm putting a lot of faith in some corporation that made money. But I knew that they made money, but I knew the way that they were doing it, again, was just by trying to make people as happy as possible. And that was fun. And it just doesn't feel like that's what it is anymore. It's about trying to make money for the sake of making money. And God, I know that this entire episode has been a slog, has been a bummer. And I am so sorry. But again, I have tried for days to come up with some other way to come at this. And I just can't. I just can't. No. I can talk about how cool Genie is with machine learning and all this. And I love that idea of being able to kind of tell people, hey, go to this because it's less busy than what it was, you know, than what it would be normally. And here's a great time for you to go and visit this thing that you wanted to see. And here's a tip board that doesn't have all this stuff that you don't care about, but you can specifically see the times that you like Genie. In and of itself, great idea.
Yeah. And I would, as we know more about it, I really would like to talk in depth about how it's working and what it's doing, because I do think that that is incredibly useful. And it's Pal Mickey on steroids, you know, and it's kind of the promise of Magic Bands, where they were, the Magic Bands were originally supposed to be something where they could use the location information that they were gleaming from those and, you know, like push people around the parks with notifications and events and things. And I think the Genie thing is kind of the delivered promise of that, where they're actually going to be able to kind of manipulate people throughout the park and try to improve everyone's experience.
Right. But instead of getting to talk about that, And honestly, I see positives to Genie. I just don't see positives to Genie Plus. I don't see positives to Lightning Lane. I just see a unabashed cash grab that I cannot get behind. And I don't know what else to say other than that about those.
It's going to be interesting. I don't want to write this all off quite yet, because I think that there is time to learn and room to grow. And I have one more question for you. In the past, there were people that didn't like Michael Eisner. And there were people that didn't like Bob Iger. And everybody knew, you know, like there were, and there were things about Michael Eisner that weren't great. And there were things about Bob Iger that weren't great. Does Disney care? And is Disney paying attention to the fact that Bob Chapek is kind of universally disliked? And there doesn't seem to be really anyone that is on his side. And does that matter? Because that's the I've had that conversation in my mind for a long time. It's like, do they care that no one seems to like this guy? And does it matter to them, or are they, you know, are they just good as, like you said, as long as the cash keeps flowing, is everything good?
Let's see. I just checked my my stock, and it's still it's down 0.03% over the last month. That's what matters about Bob Chapek. And as long as Bob Chapek can keep that number from going down in the midst of a bad situation, and can make it go up in the midst of a good situation, I honestly think Bob Chapek will still have a job. I don't think that the people who are in charge care about that, because if they did, there would be Bob Iger. Like, I know everybody, and you and I have joked about this off pod, have joked about, you know, bring back Bob Iger, right? Bob Iger has still got a high position in Disney. He's chief executive, some muckety mucker or something. Like, he still has a position within the company. Bob didn't suddenly disappear into the ether.
Right.
He's making money off of this. He's just now not having to take the brunt of the negative press for these things. So I'm not going to absolve him of everything here either. But yeah, they have stood aside while Chapek has made these changes. So I believe that what matters at the end of the day as to whether or not we like Bob Chapek is where does that number end? And if that number is positive or is not too negative, then we like Bob Chapek. The only time we are going to care is when that number goes negative. And again, for all of the issues that we have with this, numbers are still positive. People are still booking Disney vacations. People are still going to Disney. People are still talking about Disney. That's really all that matters. So until that is why I honestly believe until that changes, they're just going to keep doing this stuff. And again, I know how unabashedly negative I sound and how annoying this must be to listen to, but I can't keep it in anymore. And I'm hoping that by purging myself in this episode, that maybe in the future I can just get back to some positivity about things Disney, because I'm just at the point where I don't think I can anymore. And I've got to get out of that, and I don't know how right now.
Well, is there anything else you want to talk about?
No. I think we are we're done. Take us out, Jeremy.
I think that'll do it for this episode. You can follow us on Twitter at MTM Podcast. You can like us on Facebook at facebook.com/MTM Podcast. You can visit us on the web at missingthemouse.co. We'll be back next week with a brand new episode. And until then, have a magical day.